Welcome to episode 67 of CosPod Podcast for all things food. We are the podcast for all things food and cosplay.
And cosplay. I just made business cards. I can't add food on there.
Yeah, for those who see us at conventions, we will have new business cards when you next see us.
I'm so happy. I like them.
Yes, and there will be other things as well. We will probably never sell merchandise just because there's not really anything that we could sell that we think people would buy from us. So it will all be, you know, still free for your consumption. As far as what we have been working on, why don't you go first? Because I have show and tell.
Oh, you have show and tell? My stuff's in bag, so I have nothing to show. But I have things to tell. I've just been sewing and more sewing and more sewing. I've got my April O'Neil costume nearly done. And, yeah, it's just a lot of sewing and more sewing. I plan to play with my nice sheet of Warbler today. I've never played with it before, so it'll be an interesting experience. Do not have a heat gun, so I'll be using my hair dryer and possibly my stove. But it'll be okay. And yes, I will be forming it to my actual body because I don't have appropriate size stuff everywhere. So there you go. I'm done.
This is why I find it useful to keep a large variety of canisters around. I have found that the Luann coconut oil canister is the perfect size to make bracelets for my biceps or if I need to make spalders.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I need to ever make anything for my wrists, I don't have cones that size. I've been using spray paint canisters because they have the tapered top.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at some point I'm going to have to make duct tape forms of my forearms.
I think I may have to do the same because I have to do a couple of different pieces. With April, she's got watches. With Enchantress, I've got full arm guards. And I have a rolling pin, but it's not the right thickness. My arm is, I'm just way too thin here. It's just bone. So I don't have anything that's comparable to this. So it's just going to go right on top, and I'll deal with it.
All right. So
I felt worse pain.
Show and tell number one is, this is my old Bisento blade. This is the one that cracked right here. You can see the hot glue on it, actually, right there. It is still cracked, incidentally, so this could fall apart at any time, which is why I'm not going to use it anymore. This was blank. This was a model to use for the new one, which you'll notice the star design is a little bit different on here. This is how it was supposed to be. Right now I have a protective guard around it so I don't break it. But this one has a wood dowel all the way up the center, so this thing ain't going to break, which is wonderful. I finally have a prop that will not break.
Yay!
So I finished that. So that was my first one. Put these down back where I had them. There we go. All right. Piece number two. This is my corset with all my nice shiny styrene, all the nice design on it. If you were watching yesterday, this was what the corset is supposed to look like instead of the one that I did and made a mistake on. And that was a genuine mistake. That was not supposed to happen. I didn't plan that so you guys could learn from it. I screwed up. Amber does that quite a bit when it comes to armor making. Learning process, what can I say? So this was how it was supposed to turn out. And I used manicure scissors and cut out all the little decorations on it, which you can see with the contrast. And now I get to spray paint it gold after I take all the gems back off again. So that was my second thing that I've been so proud of working on this weekend. Kamui inspired me, what can I say? And then these are the bracelets that go with it. See all the little styrene decorations that go all the way around. Very Greek looking.
Yay!
These are what I formed around the coconut oil canister because they were just the right size. My arms are not circular, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the shape works well for when I have to slip it on because these don't have any sort of seams or clefts. They literally slip on over my arm and then sit there. So, see, it just sits there. So, that is what I have been working on. I've been also redoing the staff head. I don't have very much to show on that one, so all I can do is tell, mostly because it's sitting on my table right there, awaiting assembly, mm-hmm. with high-temp hot glue, which I made the joke yesterday that I have been bonding with my friend, Mr. High Temp Hot Glue.
He's a very special friend.
Yes, and I mean that in both senses of the word, which I was not actually burning myself with the heat gun yesterday. I was burning myself with the High Temp Hot Glue.
But it sounds so much funnier. It
gets very hot. It gets very, very hot very quickly. And I think when I go to Home Depot today, I may end up purchasing a pair of heat-resistant leather gloves just so that I can work with it and not ruin my motorcycle gloves. Because that stuff really does burn your hands. I've actually got a slight burn on my thumb still from yesterday. But it's healing. You know, cosplay is pain, sweat, blood, and tears. What can I say? I'm doing the staff head in the same way I did the Bicento, where I have the square dowel going up the center of it, and then basically building everything around that. So I'm layering up Evafoam, styrene, and craft foam, layers on top of each other, just the same way I did, but this time it won't crack like it did when the little kid stepped on it at Alcon.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the way I originally built it was to use actual wooden dowels, like solid oak dowels. And there's not a pretty way of mounting the staff head on top of that. So what I did is I drilled pilot holes in the head of the dowel. I drilled three of them. No, I drilled two of them on top. Three of them were for the center so that I could put them together. I drilled two pilot holes on top, and then I put the nails in backwards, head first, down into the pilot holes and glued them in there so that you had two little spikes sticking out, and I skewered the staff head. That's how I attached it. And I put glue up there, too, so it would hold. Unfortunately, that makes it rather permanent and very difficult to fix when it breaks. So I needed to find another way than skewering it because it is not a cob of corn. I need it to be able to come off. And foam eventually breaks down under that sort of pressure and stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can skewer foam, but foam will eventually start to kind of pull away from the holes. So I'm redoing it with a dowel this time. And I'm also redoing the staff so that it's PVC pipe, same way I did the staff for Erza. Doing it with a dowel up the center, two pieces of PVC pipe, so it's a lot less thick and easier to transport, and it looks a lot smoother than having the PVC pipe joint on the outside of the two pieces of PVC pipe, top and bottom. It just looks really tacky that way, the way I did it. Live and learn. I am certainly learning. Oh, thanks, Alan. I appreciate the compliment on props look great.
I was about to point you to his question.
Oh, the Bicento blade? That one was made from Evafoam for the core and then styrene on the outside. In fact, there are two layers of styrene. One for the... Here, I'll pull the old one, because the other one is a little further away. So I did one layer for the whole blade of styrene, and then I did a separate layer for just the black portion, so that I could just paint the whole core silver and then put the black on top for the layered effect, so it's kind of 3D looking instead of just painted. So it actually does have thickness to it. It has additional thickness to it. So that ended up working well. Since I had sworn off using Evafoam and suddenly, surprisingly, found my way back to it for prop making, now I'm sitting here going, okay, I need to conserve my Evafoam so I can actually have enough around to use it instead of wanting to throw it away or use it for camping.
Right.
So the next time Harbor Freight has it on sale, I'm probably going to have to go and pick up another pack.
Oh, of course you are.
But, you know, I'm a gold member at Harbor Freight now, so they let me in early, so I can go during one of their parking lot sales and just walk myself in and go, la, 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 I'd like one of these, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that is pretty much what I have been doing for the last week. I've been crafting hard.
Which is good.
I finally had time to craft hard. Now that I work a new shift at work, I can come home and then I have a few hours at night where I can just craft.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't make noise because I want to be a good neighbor, but there's that. Well, I've also been spending a lot of time. I've actually gotten two pre-approvals now for my house search, so now I can go in, you know, pre-approval in hand saying, I have two banks that will loan me this amount of money, which is more than enough to buy this house. Now please show me the house. So I'm that much closer to buying a house, which I hope to find what I want in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that hopefully after we come back from GlitchCon, which we will be talking about shortly, then I will hopefully have bought a house.
Yay!
Then I can have a real workshop, and then I have a place to light things on fire.
And that's exactly what it is.
And not have to worry about my landlord. And I can fiberglass outside instead of in my apartment and choke myself to death on the fumes. Among other things. And I can actually stand outside instead of having sawdust in my carpet. And then I have to walk around with socks so that I don't get splinters in my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible. I know.
Yeah, the things you're getting a house just for cosplay. Just admit it.
I'm totally getting a house. Well, I'm getting a house for the garage, which will both be used for cosplay and to house my vehicles so that the birds stop pooping on them and the trees stop raining sap and resin on them. And so I don't have to worry about the two people outside. Whenever they see my motorcycle, I have two neighbors that seek out my motorcycle space because they park over the lines closer to my motorcycle so that they get like a larger parking spot for themselves. It's like they take all of one and then like part of mine so that they get this huge spot.
Mm-hmm.
I have people who literally do it on both sides of me so that my motorcycle is hemmed in by these two cars that can't park with beans.
Mm-hmm.
When there are cars next to them, they can park just fine, so I know that they can park their cars. But they seek out my motorcycle so that they get a bigger space for themselves at the cost of me. And I get sick of it. I constantly move my motorcycle around, but they still look for me. So I want a garage where I can put my motorcycle and not have anybody park next to it. So it's for cosplay and for my motorcycle.
I can promise you those problems are not eliminated when you get a garage. It will still happen outside your garage. My car is testament to that.
Well, if they're going to park in my driveway on my space, then I can have them removed.
I'm not talking about at home. I mean, just in general, daily wandering
about.
Oh.
No. If it's anywhere else, I don't have to worry about it.
Because birds don't poop anywhere else?
Well, no, because if the birds pooping generally does not happen. It happens more often in my complex because we have trees everywhere. And the birds sit in the trees and then they poop on the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do poop. They do poop elsewhere, just yes, nowhere near as often as when I'm parked at home under a tree.
Well, aren't you fancy? Because we have no trees at work. Somehow they still manage to seek out my car every freaking day. I don't know where they come from. I don't know why, but they always manage to get my car. Even when it's not clean, which makes it even more annoying. They should hit the clean cars, not my nice dirty one.
They used to sit on the mirrors on my motorcycle so that they could see themselves, and then mm-hmm. they would poop on my handlebars on my motorcycle.
Yeah. That I can understand.
It was annoying. So I ended up putting Walmart bags, and I tied them over my mirrors, and I never had that problem again. It's weird. Anyways, tangents aside.
Yeah, we should probably get on to the main topic here. Well, one of them.
I was going to say, we have three main topics, so we're going to start...
2.5, well, depending on, you know, time restrictions.
Sure. So we're going to start with the nearest one, which is to say San Japan is next weekend. So when you guys see this, I will be at San Japan. And I will be thinking about all of you guys while I am sitting there having fun. So more or less, this is going to be my first San Japan. I have never been. I have heard really good things about it. And it is because of that feedback that I decided to make it one of my cons this year. It is not quite as expensive for me as A-Con, which is a good thing. We're staying in the convention hotel, simply because I'm going to have all of our media equipment. And I really don't want to haul all of our media equipment across the street on a hand truck.
You're still crazy.
My wonderful hand truck that I always have with me. So we will be pressed there. Big thanks to S. David Ramirez at San Japan for granting us press credentials. We are very grateful for that. Because originally we weren't going to get them, but he was nice enough to allow it. So we will be filming at the cosplay contest and at most of the cosplay events that I can get my hands on. I was really, really impressed with their cosplay schedule this year. the panels that they are running are solid panels. They are scheduled well. It was not... I will be nice. I felt kind of bad at Project Akon because all the cosplay panels were scheduled on top of each other. Mm-hmm. That made it really hard to attend them. I love you, Akon. I really do. I love you, Project Akon. But the schedule this past year was really impossible for us to be able to attend or film anything. So San Japan has them all one right after the other, generally in the same room, too. So I won't have to move very much. I'm going to try my hardest to participate in Cosplay Chess. If I can't, I will film it. But as part of me wanting to have fun, I've always wanted to take part in Cosplay Chess. I keep trying these past few years, and they never pick me. I'm sad. It's because I cosplay old school characters, I've been told. That's why they never pick me.
The same problem I have. We cosplay the obscure and old school. Nobody likes us anymore.
Yeah, it's all about Deadpool.
Honestly, if it's not a Deadpool, or if it's... the only old school that seems to be okay is if it's a Sailor Scout, but even then that's questionable. So you're more likely to be Pokemon.
There were even Super Mario video game characters at last year's Cosplay Chess at Akon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try. I did notice on their schedule, which I am looking at right now, they just put out their final version recently, and I noticed that you have to line up an hour before the panel actually starts. They actually have it scheduled, Cosplay Chess lineup. And that scares me a little bit, because I know how popular that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to invoke my press credentials to get in early. I will wait in line, like everybody else, as a participant. I will only invoke if I can't participate, and that's mostly just so I can film it and still partake in the fun.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, basically I'm going to try and film as many of the panels as I can. I am going to take some breaks in between because I need food, like any human being. And I would like to be able to go out and basically enjoy the convention center, since I have never been to... Actually, now that I think about it, I think I have been to that convention center one time in my life when I was in 10th grade.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since then, I'm sure.
True, and that was back in the day when I was still in high school doing Spanish competitions, so yeah, we didn't get to see very much of the convention center anyway, since we were pretty much confined to one room. I vaguely remember the theater, the Lila Cockrell Theater, which I know has undergone renovations since I've been there. I've seen pictures. They actually increased the size of the space so that they can fit more people in for the cosplay contest, so that more people can watch, which I really appreciate. Not just as press, but just as somebody who wants people to be able to watch cosplay, I really appreciate them having additional capacity. So I will be heading down there on Thursday. I do have to work for a little bit on Thursday. I only took a half day because I have limited PTO. And I need to save any in case I get sick, because sick season is coming up. And con plague. So I am going to leave right after work on Thursday. So hopefully I will see some of you guys down there on Thursday. Unfortunately, I did not pre-register for my pass, so I have to buy it on site. So I will be in the lines Thursday on site getting my badge. And then basically we will be there for the whole con. I'm going to leave Sunday afternoon to head back here. As far as video upload and such goes, as soon as I get home, I'm going to collapse. So there will be no video on Sunday. There will also be no video on Monday, because I have to work on Monday. I could not take off. So I immediately go back to work. In fact, I'm going to have to do a grocery run like as soon as I get home from the convention so that I have food for work. Probably that Tuesday is when I will start doing video edits and uploads. And again, thank you Verizon Fios for enhancing my speed so that I can get you the video faster. In fact, three times as fast. So there is that. As far as panels I'm particularly excited about, I know there were a couple of them in here, which I've noticed that as we go to conventions, usually I go for the panels. I enjoy learning. So I go for that and to people watch. a lot of the panels at conventions start to get really samey after a while. They're basically cosplay 101, sewing for beginners, how to style wigs. Not that they're bad panels. We just see the same things every con, done by different people. So when they have panels like Closet Cosplay, The Art of Altering, very few people actually cover altering pre-bought clothes for cosplay. So I like that idea. And then they also have Body Painting with the Sirens. Very few people cover body painting. There's a lot of makeup panels that cover basic face makeup, but very few people actually cover body makeup. So I want to see those.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other cosplay panels, of course, but those two were the ones I was most excited to see. And I do notice here that they also have a Cosplay Modeling 101. It's all in the presentation panel. That sounds remarkably similar to the one that you did at Project Acon.
Gee! I'm finding as more and more people are understanding the importance of posing and modeling and moving and walking, that more of those panels have been cropping up around the place. Ha! Maybe I started a trend. That's cool.
You can count yourself as a founder of the trend.
Mine!
So there is that. There are a few panels that are on top of each other, so I apologize at having to pick and choose because it's just me this year at the con. I don't have my buddy to trade around, so...
I have work.
Yes, but sorry. I do have two special correspondents that I have asked to help me out by taking photos. So they will be taking photos for me while I am filming in the panel rooms. So I'm really looking forward to this. This is more of a vacation for me than it is a working con, since I'm not teaching and I'm not volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just there as press and to enjoy the scene. As far as the actual costumes I'm bringing goes, that's actually still up in the air, even though it's a week before the con. I know I'm taking Lena Inverse, and that's simply because Lisa Ortiz is going to be there. So that's obligatory that I bring that costume.
For those who don't know, who is Lisa Ortiz? Because again, old school lady. We're old school. Not many people will understand.
Yes, Lisa Ortiz is probably best known for her voiceovers of Lena Inverse and Deedlet from Record of Lodossor. She does the dub. She has other roles, but usually when you say that name, a lot of people will think of those two roles.
She does the dub.
She does the dub. She can't do the sub, to the best of my knowledge. I don't think she speaks Japanese.
Just the way you said that, it sounds like she was about to go into dubstep mode.
No. Well, all I know. No. Since she does those voices, I considered bringing Deedlet, except that Deedlet is not ready for public right now. I have to do a major alteration on it for the skirt. Because otherwise it looks like I'm wearing an evening sheath dress. Oops. Yeah, I didn't tailor too well. Actually, I tailored too well on that one. I should have left more ease. So I'm taking Lena. I am debating taking Erza since I finished my Bacento. I don't know yet, simply because with this being a fun con for me, I would be tempted to take one of my other costumes like Yue solely for the sake of a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it would be fun. And I have heard that around that area there are some really good locations for photo shoots. So I'm sorely tempted. Even though I should be keeping it simple, UA is not simple. And I'd have to feather the wings in the next week. But, I don't know, for the sake of photos, I might actually be willing to do that.
I want you to keep in mind, fun is the key word. F-U-N, fun. Repeat it with me, please. You need to have fun.
Yes, and I would be having fun.
If you're going to have fun with it, then yes, go ahead and do it.
I probably would not have fun in the next 3 or 4 days, but once I hit the con, I'd have fun.
And then for the follow-up con, we keep it easy. Easy is the key word on that one.
Oh, yes. We will be speaking about that shortly, and I pretty much have my lineup for that one done because they're the easiest to transport of my costumes.
Whatever will fit in the suitcase. Done.
Well, mine are in paper boxes, but yes. So there is that. So basically, I will be at San Japan in a week. I look forward to seeing some of you guys there. Say hi to me, please, if you see me there. I will be happy to say hi back. I will bring back lots of video and pictures and all sorts of stories, I'm sure. Because it's con. There will be con stories.
There are always con stories.
All right. Our main topic.
Other main topic. Second main topic. Third.
Yes. This intro is yours, ma'am.
Why is it mine? I did nothing.
Because you brought it up.
Did I? I can't even remember anymore.
You posted the two articles, too.
I only posted one article. You had the second one.
Both were on your Facebook.
Well, that I did not post both of them directly to CosPod. You did.
Oh, no, I did that.
So fudge you.
I will happily take fudge.
Yay,
it's
fudge.
It's delicious.
We like fudge. We're very easily entertained. Just give us fudge and we're happy.
I am bribable with food.
Yay, food.
As long as it's good
fudge.
Food.
Oh, well, fudge tastes good. Fudge is not necessarily good for you.
Oh, I don't care if it's good for me. I just care that it tastes good.
Oh, okay.
Everything fudge in moderation.
Okay, so anyway, we were talking about having another mini roundtable, just an open discussion between Amber and myself and whoever happens to be watching with us right now. You're more than welcome to contribute. But our topic is sexy cosplay, or sezzy cosplay, S-E-Z-Y, because that's the fun way of saying sexy cosplay. Just based off of some recent articles that we've posted, they're not technically new articles. They were originally posted back in April, and then one of them was updated last month about how one person is interpreting cosplay and sexy cosplay is actually hurting the community. Well, another person is interpreting it that, no, it's the entire nerd fandom that's hurting the cosplay community. So I thought that they were kind of interesting topics to bring up and we can start discussing them. And Amber's giving me a face right now. What's the face for? What's with the face?
No, I will preface my response to any of these by simply saying that my opinion on the matter is not popular in the cosplay community. It's very possible that I will get disagreement or even hate mail, and that is okay, because this is my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we should preface this with, is that this is going to be completely our opinions, so and they are such our opinions. We're more than willing and welcome to discuss them, talk about them, but please don't bash us, because they are our personal thoughts and our personal opinions. They don't reflect the podcast as a whole, because we are very supportive of all things and everything cosplay. So, there you go. Warning label there. These are opinions that are not associated with CosPod. We just thought it would be an interesting topic to talk about.
Yes. All right. So, the overarching question that spawned the whole thing is simply, is there too much emphasis on skin-bearing cosplay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can either take that as a yes or no question, or you can take it with shades of gray. To
be
honest,
there are a lot of shades of gray.
There are a ton of shades of gray, but in the end, my answer is simply yes. And I know that's unpopular, and that is okay, and here is my reasoning. There is nothing wrong with bearing your skin in cosplay. As a general rule, I mean, people go around in bikinis all the time. You know, there are nudist beaches. This is not a problem. My issue with it is that I think that when you cross that line between tasteful and distracting, we've crossed that line. Because basically, if you've got it, flaunt it, sure. If people start staring at your breasts the entire time at the exclusion of the rest of your costume, you have a problem, because then you've defeated what I consider to be the purpose of cosplay, which is to portray a character. Whether for fun, whether for competition, you know, that's up to you. But if in cosplay you're trying to portray a character and nobody's paying attention to that character, is that really cosplay?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. And that's my opinion to where, yes, I think we've crossed that line. We have too much. Your turn.
Yeah, I know. This is a weird one, because a part of me wants to say yes, because it is so obvious to me that there's a lot more bare flesh going on. The important parts are covered for the most part, to an extent, in most cases. But at the same time, I think that a lot of people do it because they want to have fun in the costume. They're trying to replicate the character in their own way, take it in their own spin. There are going to be those few who are doing it intentionally for the shock factor, for the sexy factor, because they want to be noticed, because they want their pictures taken. But I think most people still focus more on, well, this is my take on the character. It may not match accurately with the book, the movie, whatever, but this is what I think, and I think it's fun that way. And I'm okay with that. And I think it's just those little few extreme people who are taking it to another direction, almost like a modeling direction, where they want to make it into a career, and therefore, because of the way the world is right now, we're more focused on the way a person looks, less on the accuracy of the outfit. Of course, the skimpier and the better looking you are, the more likely people are going to buy your stuff. So,
see, I disagree a little with the contention that most people do it to show off a character. Mm-hmm. I think that the majority of people who are doing the skin-bearing cosplay either partially or mostly do it for attention. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there.
Well, I mean, we're still all doing it for attention. I mean, those sure. of us wearing, like, the giant mascot suits, of course we're doing it for attention. There's some sure. very, there's degrees of attention, I would say.
Right. I didn't want it to come across, like, basically, I don't agree with the contention that they're only doing it for their own take. Mm-hmm. As an aesthetic thing. I tend to think that it's shifting more towards, yeah, it's their take on it, but it's a take for getting attention.
And I think because of the way things are right now and the way the community is, more people are starting to go more towards, I mean, just like that. It's not so much their take on it anymore. It's more of, I want more attention now. If I alter this costume to get that attention, it's a good thing for, you know, XYZ reason.
That I agree with.
So now that we're spinning on that one, since Amber clearly does not like the skin-bearing cosplays.
I don't like the quantity of them.
There's
because there are so many.
There's so many.
And because, not that this is one of our talking points, but I feel like it's becoming expected now. If you want likes, if you want views, if you want downloads, if you want people to purchase prints of you, people are starting to feel obligated to make those alterations to their costumes, and I heavily disagree with that, because I know that likes and photos and downloads and everything, they're based on aesthetics. They're based on how you look. I get that. And I don't think that you should have to worry about how much skin you're revealing to be able to get those. I don't think that's fair, because none of us have that kind of a perfect body that we all have in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has that. This is why Photoshop is around, and professional artists, mm-hmm. and professional photographers. So I don't like it that I think the entire community is being pushed in that direction, unwillingly. Well, most of them unwillingly. Most Some of them are just jumping for it.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, they see the success that people like Jessica Negari and Vampy Bitmy have because they're doing costumes with a different take, and they're making a business out of them doing those type of things, and they want that same model. Like, oh, hey, I don't have to have a normal 9-to-5 job. I could do this and still make money and still have fun doing my craft. And you're also having to give up the fact that, oh, well, now I'm going to have to show more of my body. Now I'm going to have to alter this. I'm going to have to do more of this. And it kind of leads into the question, is the community being hurt by sexy cosplay because of this?
Or the other way around, as the articles pointed out, or are we hurting ourselves by pointing this out, or mm-hmm. by making an issue of it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel cliche saying it's a bit of both.
I was thinking the same thing. It really is. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, quite literally.
Are we being hurt? I think our image is being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think basically, whenever you say cosplay, even for those who haven't seen Heroes of Cosplay or, you know, Call in Cosplay or whatever the new show is,
mm-hmm.
basically people get this image of sexy girls in very revealing costumes for characters. And guys have this image of being either muscular characters or in armor.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't like that stereotype, because then it puts people, it basically makes them feel like, well, I have to toe the line. I have to, you know, walk the walk and get stuck in this little box because that's what's expected of me by society. And I don't like that. It stifles creativity, for one. And it discourages crossplay, for two, which I fully support crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is, yeah, we're basically changing our image by doing it. For good or for bad, we're changing our own image. As far as whether we're hurting ourselves, yeah, we are. Mostly because we're basically causing division in our own ranks. We're basically having the equivalent of a culture war within cosplay as we're trying to struggle to find this one cohesive group identity to basically define what is cosplay for us. Except that there isn't one. There's not just one. There's individual opinions of what cosplay is. And so I think trying to forge this one identity that we all accept isn't really going to work very well. Doesn't stop us from trying. But I don't think we're doing very well at it. And this whole thing basically is being turned into a black and white issue where you're either for or against it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, if you're not with me, you're my enemy. That's mm-hmm. kind of what this is turning into. That's just me. That's my opinion, my two cents.
But I mean, in many ways, I mean, I'm agreeing with you on a lot of those points. I mean, it's difficult because we're at the time now where geek and nerd culture is popular, and what we used to be and how we used to be viewed is not really the same anymore. It's changed. It's altered. And people, when they talk about cosplay, immediately go to the stereotypical sexy images. They don't think about the myriad of other things that men and women create. And that's causing additional division within our own community because now we're all backlashing and saying, well, no, that's not what our cosplay is. This is what our cosplay is. And it's so hard. I mean, you don't want to pick and choose which side you want to be on. At the same time, we're being forced to do that. We're being forced to pick, you know, we're either for this type of cosplay or we're against this type of cosplay. You can't be in between. You can't want both. And it's hard being in the middle. It sucks being in the middle because there's nowhere to go with it. Because I want to support the people who are doing the sexy costumes because, you know, it is their right. They are entitled to do that. If that's what they want to do, go for it. At the same time, I have been in numerous positions as the girl standing in the corner not getting her picture taken for 8 months of work on a beautiful dress because there's a girl standing 2 feet away from me in a bikini getting all the attention. And that hurts, and that sucks every damn time. And I swore, and I don't care. So it's hard to want to be that person in the middle who's agreeable on both sides when our community is pushing us to go one way or the other. You're either with us or against us. And I want the nerd community to be what it used to be. I think that's the hard part. I think the fact that so many people from the outside are trying to come in, and so much of the nerd community is like, no, we can't have this. It needs to be, you know, exclusive. We can't have this all-inclusiveness again. And now it's spilling over to cosplay that it's just, like, causing even further divisions when there really shouldn't be.
Well, I think part of it is that back in the day when cosplay first started, cosplay had a certain definition, which was basically bringing characters to life. That's more or less what it was. It boiled down to being in a costume.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, I think outside influence from society is changing it. So I don't think it's changing from the inside. I think it's changing from the outside.
It's kind of going outside in.
I think influence is coming in from society, and for those who aren't cosplayers, they're trying to redefine what cosplay is. They're trying to put their own change on it. Mm-hmm. And basically, we're allowing it. We're following it. Where, you know, we didn't used to have a lot of these things going on. There wasn't a lot of, you know, drama in the cosplay community over a lot of these things. But once society got their hands on it, society at large, and this mm-hmm. was even before Heroes of Cosplay, then it slowly started to change. And you'll also notice that if you look at manga and anime, even those have started to change over time to fit a different ideal. And because cosplay comes from anime, manga, movies, television, as those change, cosplay is changing. and they're affecting each other, because television producers and movie producers, they see people cosplaying from their shows. They see it, and they know it. Mm. And, I mean, most of them welcome it. But I think they're changing each other. And whether that's for the good or the ill, I don't think we figured that out yet. Yeah. I think we're still trying to figure out where we're going to end up.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure ourselves out. The internet is a very powerful tool, so is 4chan. And it's interesting to see, in one of the first articles that we posted, the fact that most of those images taken by normal people in cosplay, you know, not the ideal body types, but just, you know, anybody enjoying wearing their costume, and they did a great job with their costume, but the internet at large is the one that's changing those photos to fit their quote-unquote ideal. I thought, I mean, that says a lot. When we depend on those people to watch our page, to like us, to buy our products, we know that we need to change in order to fit their image, and I think that's causing a lot of that strife too. People who aren't cosplayers, but they're buying our stuff. So,
and I think that brings in the last question that we haven't covered, which was, are we body shaming those who wear the sexy cosplays, or are they part of the body shame problem?
Both.
I don't really, I mean, by definition with body shaming, I don't think we're really body shaming those who are wearing the cosplays. I think it's reverse body shaming those who are wearing more modest costumes, where they are the ones who feel ashamed. Normally, from what I've seen, the women who wear the sexy cosplays and the men from, you know, Kill la Kill, they seem to be pretty empowered people with these costumes. I don't think they have a problem. I think it's the people who feel obliged to live up to that standard that are now feeling ashamed of their bodies, and I don't like that.
Well, my response to that, yeah, and she opens her hands to me, go! My thought is, there are still those people who will still comment on what people are wearing, whether it's too much or too little. And I have seen a number of cosplayers who have actually said to other cosplayers who've worn too little, you know, hey, cover yourself up. Hey, you're looking like a slut, or you don't need to be wearing that. So I have seen it personally firsthand, cosplayers body shaming other cosplayers for wearing too little, even if they have the perfect body or the perfect hair or the perfect whatever. So it's hard, and I do think that as a lot of other cosplayers do it. Even if it's not to their faces, they'll do it online anonymously, they'll tell it to their friends. I think it does happen both sides of the spectrum.
Both sides do it,
yeah. I mean, everybody's at fault. There are no victims. Everyone's at fault. Everybody does it.
I think basically the only way that this is going to get solved is if everybody stops trying to enforce their standard of cosplay on the community at large.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take a lot of compromise from both halves, and basically I think it's going to keep going in the same direction it's going.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change. It's going to require a lot of change, not just inside our community, but outside the community and society standards, because society wants us to be this particular image even if we're in a costume. And it's going to boil down to, you know what, this is me, this is how I want to dress up. You don't like it, you can don't like me. Unfollow my page, go find somebody else to watch. You're not going to make my decisions for me. And I think if more people stand up and empower themselves to say that and actually follow that example, I think we'll actually see more cosplayers come together as a community.
Alan says that apparently they used to be embarrassed to be in costume in the past if you were a Star Trek geek, which they...
Yes.
Star Trek people have been dressing up in uniform for ages.
Ages.
Since the first series started coming out. And so if you went to conventions back in the 70s, that you would end up having to hide, you know, if you were wearing Vulcan ears or the uniform. People would actually hide them out mm-hmm. of shame, which thankfully you don't have to do that anymore. I mean, you can walk into a comic shop in costume during the day. They won't blink. I mean, they'll treat you just like you were wearing normal t-shirt and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So things have definitely come a long way, but I think that we need to figure out as a community what we want out of cosplay, what we expect out of cosplay, and then what we expect out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can preach, you know, peace, love, unity, respect until you're hoarse and can't speak anymore.
And blue
That's
in
not
going to
make it happen.
Yeah.
So we have to basically walk the walk on our ideals. So, yeah, I may not like people in sexy cosplay because I find it distracting, but I'll still support their ability to cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit there and criticize them for wearing something sexy. So basically, I have to let them do what they're going to do as long as it's family friendly, mm-hmm. you know, and meets convention code. And I did want to make one last comment real quick, that I find it rather disgusting for those who are making sexual comments either way to any cosplayer. Whether you're sitting there saying that you're fapping to their calendar or calling someone a slut or a whore or, mm-hmm. or making very, very graphic remarks to people, that has no place in cosplay regardless of how you feel about the matter. There are some things that just should not be said in public. I mean, this is, you know, this is why we have brains, so we can think about what we're supposed to say before we say it. Not everybody does. Those sorts of things should not be in public forum. Public forums. So just don't. It makes me sick reading those things. And if mm-hmm. they ever end up on my page, I am deleting and banning anybody that does it either on my page or on Cospod's page.
Yeah, I've done it before. And I'm not ashamed to do it again. I'll just keep banning them. It's definitely become a thing of the internet age. That's for certain. Our filter has kind of dissipated, and people feel free to say and think whatever they want without having their brain saying, wait, give yourself 10 seconds to think about it before you type it down.
And I know we're going to be criticized for going, oh, well, we have freedom of speech. We can say whatever we want. Yes, you can. And you can also be handed the consequences.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are private web pages. The only reason that we have that free speech amendment is so that the government does not infringe upon your right of free speech. That says nothing about us and private entities going, this is not acceptable speech in a public forum. We will not allow it. So, you know, you can make your First Amendment argument, and my prompt response is going to be, there are consequences for whatever you say. So, enjoy.
There are always consequences for your words, and words are very, very powerful things. Put up your filter. Your filter is okay. If it's not something that you're going to say to that person in public, why the hell would you go to a forum and say it there?
Or to their grandmother, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, some grandmothers are really cool and relaxed, so that's probably a very bad thing to base it on. I know some very cool grandmas.
Great thing to base it on. All right, so our final announcement of the show.
Happy notes now.
We're going to be guests.
Yay! I'm used to guesting, so I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever, let's do this.
This is Amber's first guesting, so
it's fun.
I am excited beyond words, even if I don't look like it. And that's mostly because you don't want to hear me squealing on a mic.
Squee!
Oh no, this would be open, like, high-pitched girl squealing.
Yeah, we don't want that, thank you.
it would break the level. But we are going to be cosplay guests of honor at GlitchCon, along with Velvet Rose Cosplay and Kagzilla, or Cogzilla, I think.
However you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, either or. But we're going to be teaching panels.
Yep.
And we are going to be judging the cosplay contest. And we will be making all sorts of video recordings, because apparently it is going to be a thing. We're going to do this behind the cosplay series, like Behind the Music used to be in the 90s for VH1. And now we're going to do a behind the cosplay guesting edition. So that we can film all of my reactions at guesting for the first time and judging for the first time. So
basically, you'd be Val with the camera poking at Amber until she does something funny.
She's basically going to film me starting when I start driving out to Arkansas, basically until I drop her off when we get back on Sunday.
Uh-huh. And just poking her the entire time. Poke, poke, poke.
As long as I'm not driving, then that's fine. Don't
I know
poke me
better.
While I'm driving.
I know better.
So we hope to see several of you guys there at GlitchCon. We are going to have a table. I believe, is it Artist Alley? Or is it Dealer's Den?
We'll be in Artist Alley. Yay!
Artist Alley, okay. And we're going to have sampler DVDs of the show. For those who have never watched us, we're going to take somewhere between 6 and 8 episodes from the show, however many fit on the DVD, and basically pass them out for free at our table so that we can, you know, spread the love, as it were. And, of course, we'll have our business cards. We probably will not be at the table very much, simply because we're going to be everywhere else. We're going to be filming as press, doing panels, doing guesting duties, all that sort
we'll
of good
stuff. We'll be busy.
Yes, but it will be a fantastic time. And I'm really hoping to squeeze in some tabletop gaming, because the gamer in me is just itching to game.
Right.
At a gaming convention, which I will be taking Arwen from Lord of the Rings, of course. I will be taking one of my Renaissance noble lady dresses, simply because I haven't worn it in a little while, and it's a very nice dress. And if I finish it, I'm going to take Athena with me, and that's the corset and bracelets you saw at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
If I finish the staff, I will take that with me as my anime costume, and because it's nice and cool as a halter dress.
Yeah.
Nice and airy and comfortable.
And flowy.
Well, it's not terribly flowy, because poplin is not very.
Oh, you use poplin. Okay.
Yes, because it matched the texture of the dress from the anime. Technically, I probably should have made it out of silk, but from what I've seen in other people's photos, that gets really shiny real quick.
They're not using the right silk.
Glow! And it's like, no, I don't want to glow. I need something matte. Which, if I ever remake the dress, I will probably remake it out of a nicer material.
I say, there are nicer silks. Most people just choose the cheaper ones, which is why they get so shiny.
Yeah, whenever Golden d'Or has their next sale, I will probably drag myself down there.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Surprisingly, last time
when we were there, the crowds were practically non-existent. We got there right as they opened, and we had free reign for 2.5 hours. Nobody was really there. It was great. I was surprised.
Crowds don't bother me, just because I'm so used to being in them.
Mm.
So
I hate
that's
crowds.
Not fun.
I hate other people.
So, GlitchCon is July 31st, and then August 1st and 2nd, I believe. No, 1st through 3rd.
1st through 3rd. No, it's not a Thursday. It's a Friday through Sunday con.
I'm partially off that Thursday. That's why I'm thinking of it.
Her brain's a little off. It's okay.
Yeah. I had to take off a half day just so that I would have adequate time to make sure everything is packed, that I have foodstuffs as needed, my car has gas, my car's been cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes I use my car as a bag of holding for all my excess stuff.
And as a transportation unit for other people.
Yeah, well, I'm usually the only person in my vehicle ever. I never have passengers. So I don't usually worry about it until all of a sudden I have passengers.
Hi.
This is why I ride a motorcycle. That motorcycle is built for one.
And just that one.
Which, currently I have a non-cosplay project that I'm working on. I took out my motorcycle cooling vest that basically I took a vest made out of the waterproof diaper material that you use for kids. I think it's PUC. Polyurethane chloride, something like that.
Pook.
Yes. You can look it up at Joann's. That's where I bought it. And I sewed athletic mesh pockets so that I could put those ice packs for lunches. I just put ice packs all the way around my body. And it worked fairly well for a while, but eventually it's just gotten to the point where I don't even feel the ice packs through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought 25 feet of aquarium tubing.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm gonna sew the tubing around the vest in kind of a squiggle pattern. And then I bought a Walmart, one of those $10 pumps, which is sitting next to me. I don't want to move it because it has water in it, because I've been using it as a fountain. But I pillaged the pump from it. I broke the pump off. And I tested it to make sure it would work. And so I will attach a little container to the back of my bike in a little basket. I will put ice water into it. And then I will put, you know, I have little T attachments from the aquarium section where I will just plug the tubes into the container so that it cycles ice water all the way around my vest.
That's funny.
When I'm motorcycling. It also works, incidentally, if you're going to make armor. You can use it as a cooling vest. All you have to do is just hide the tubes when you're not using the water container to cool off. Whenever you want to cool off, you just get a little Tupperware container, put ice water in it, just take the tubes, stick them in the container, and then turn on the pump and go,
Cosplaying Mythbuster style.
This is Texas. It regularly hits 100 degrees in August. Having a cooling vest, especially if you're on a motorcycle, is very necessary.
Yes, it is.
because I've been riding around without one for many, many years, and pouring sweat is gross because I have to wear a full armor jacket because I don't want to be a road pancake. And it gets really hot when you have to wear a long sleeve armored jacket on a motorcycle and pants, because I can't wear shorts to work, to be able to go riding, you know, home and back. And it takes me a half an hour one way, which I know isn't bad, but when it's 100 degrees outside and you have no air conditioning, half an hour is bad. So
half an hour is bad. You do have the AC. It sucks.
So that is my non-cosplay project. So, you know, after all that hand stitching we did for Rava and Vatu on the eel wire, which eventually I will have to redo that one leg. So now I have to go hand whip stitch all of this tubing around my vest. And it's like, I thought I was done with this for a while.
Nope.
Which is why I started working on Athena.
Something to take your mind.
Yes, something to take my mind off of it and to rest my hands. Because 25 feet of tubing is a heck of a lot of tubing. Just saying. So, that is what we will end the show on.
Amber MacGyvering things for tubes and ice water.
Yes. Yes, cooling myself off MacGyver style. Because MacGyver is the cosplay god.
MacGyver is the best human being ever.
At any rate, thank you guys for watching the show. We appreciate it. We will see you guys at San Japan for those of you attending next week. We will see you guys at GlitchCon in about 3 weeks, of you who are attending. Otherwise, we will catch you guys on the interwebs. Of course, you can contact us at any of our social media. We will have those new business cards that have QR codes that you can even scan now. They will be awesome.
And
you can always email us at podcast@cospod.org. You will get two responses, one from each of us. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 68. Bye, guys.
Bye.